Oh, as we come to you this morning, Father, Lord, we truly want to reach out, Father, and Lord, we want to touch you this morning, Father. Lord, we've not gathered here in vain this morning, dear God, but Lord, we've gathered, Father, knowing that you're in our midst this morning, Father. And Lord, we have need of you this morning, Father. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that Lord, as you're passing by, Father, Lord, that we can reach out, Father, and Lord, we can touch you this morning, dear God. And Lord, I ask, Father, that Lord, you would come, Lord, and be free, Father, amongst your people this morning, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that Lord, if they have a need, dear God, Lord, would they pull on that gift, Father? And Lord, would they just pull that, what they have need of, Father, out of your word this morning, Father? Lord, I ask, dear God, that Lord, you would come, Lord, and Lord, begin to break the bread of life to us this morning, Father. Lord, that we can take encouragement, Father. Lord, that we can take understanding, Father, out of it, Lord. Lord, we need you this morning, Father. Lord, we are trusting in you this morning, and we give this service to you. Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, you would just do with it as you will. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. You love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Jeremiah 29, verse 10. I want to say we really enjoyed ourselves last night and the fellowship that we had with each and every one of you. And I learned a new way to start a campfire. I had to drive about 3.5 hours to learn it, but I learned. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this morning, just for a little while, if we could, on desperately seeking Christ. Yeah. Desperately seeking Christ this morning. Jeremiah 29 and 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye come unto me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." God bless you. You can have your seats this morning. We realize that as we look at this thought this morning, that on desperately seeking God, Christ, we realize that in situations, whenever people become desperate, people will do things many times that they most generally would not do. Because there is something inside of them that is, there's an urgency within them, and they will begin to act in ways that they have never acted before. They will begin to do things that they have never done before, and they'll begin to say things that they've never said before. Why? Because there is something inside of them that has overtaken them. It's a sense of desperation. And I begin to think, my mind went back to a time whenever my oldest son was, we was at my wife's mom and dad, and they lived on 40 acres at the time. And whenever my son, he came in, we was all sitting around the dinner table, I believe it was, and all of a sudden we realized we hadn't seen him in a long time. And we begin to look at each other and we said, "Where's Ethan?" And nobody knew where Ethan was. And there was Braden, and there, you know, everybody was there but him. And they had a pool out in the back. And my first thought was, "Oh no." So I went running outside and he wasn't there. And I begin to think, you know, "Where's he at?" And I begin to look. And by this time, you know, I was just looking. I wasn't really desperate yet, because I had just begun my search for him. And time went on, and this went on for probably a half an hour or better, and we did not find him anywhere. And I begin to realize, you know, something had happened. And I begin to get desperate, and I begin to look, and my wife, I noticed how that all of a sudden, you realize she became in such a way to where she was so desperate. And she began to frantically look, and I was looking, and Tim and Dawn were looking. Why? Because we had lost something, and we were looking desperately, and something came over us, and it began to make you feel like, you know, you would do things that you wouldn't normally do. and I begin to yell, "Ethan, where are you? Ethan, where are you?" And my wife takes off down the driveway, and this driveway is a long driveway, and she walks all the way down that driveway yelling, "Ethan, where are you?" And I begin to think, you know, what is it? She was desperately looking for her son, and she had something inside of her, and she needed to find him, and there was nothing in this world that was going to stop that mama from finding that baby. Why? Because she had something. She knew that he was there somewhere. She had to find him. And she began to be so desperate. And about that time, somebody, I believe it was my father-in-law, he said, "I found him. He was in the garage playing hide and seek, and nobody else was." Nobody was playing this game of hide and seek but him. And he had hidden the garage. And I mean, the guy can hide. Because I had looked in that garage 3 or 4 times. And he was not there. But yet he was there. And he was sitting there and he got out. And by this time I had became a little bit less than enthused. whenever we got him and he came out of hiding. And whenever he seen me, he immediately went from... That smile immediately fell off of him because he knew by the way that I was carrying myself at a high rate of speed toward him that something was very wrong. And he began to himself become desperate. He began to be desperate, and whenever them children are desperate, they'll give up their firstborn. They'll give up anything to get out of what's coming. They'll give it up. Take Braden, he done this. Oh, they're the first to do it. Oh, no! Hurt my wife's middle brother. He's world's first. He was all the time. He would give up anything to get out of it. But he comes to me and I notice that he begins to get desperate and he begins to beg and he begins to plead. Because he knew what was coming to him. I looked at him and I said, "Do you realize what you've done to me?" Of course he didn't realize what he'd done to me. But what was it? He looks at me and he begins to beg and he begins to plead, "Daddy, don't do that." Why? Because there was something inside of him and it began to make him do things that he wouldn't normally do. It began to make him negotiate with me in ways that he would never negotiate under normal circumstances. He begins to negotiate with me. "Daddy, no, don't do that. Just put me in the corner. Daddy, don't do that. Just set me down." And I'm sitting there thinking, "I know best. You're telling me exactly what I need to know." But I begin to think, you know, in that time of desperation, we begin to seek something. We begin to look. And we would have never found him had we not got out and begin to look for him, Brother Tony. And I begin to think, you know, we could have sat there. Where was Ethan? Well, nobody knows, but who cares? No, that wasn't the attitude. But it was, we got to go find him. And we had to get up and we had to go and begin to search for him. We looked and we turned over. I looked under the car. I looked in closets. I looked everywhere. I looked in the barn. I looked in the loft. I looked everywhere. But I could not find him. But I was still desperately seeking him out. I was still doing something to find him. Did I have the evidence that he was there? No, I didn't. Because I began to think as I was sitting there not finding him, I thought, well, what if he went down to the end of the road and somebody picked him up? That would have been so simple because the end of the drive is out of our sight. I begin, you know how the devil will do? He'll begin to play with your mind. And I begin to think of the worst things that could happen. Amen. And I begin to, but whenever I seen him, whenever I found him, that was such a relief. Why? Because I had found what I was seeking. Amen. And in verse 12, he says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." He said that he would do it. He said, have you ever been at a point to where it feels that your prayers are going unanswered? It feels that you're just speaking, and it's just going out to thin air. Have you ever been to the point to, come on somebody, have you ever been to the point to where it seems that you can't find God and God doesn't care about you no longer? Have you ever been to the point to where it seems like you've not felt God, you've not seen God, and God has forsaken you? But in the Word it says, then shall ye call upon Him, showing that you have got to do something. You've got to become desperate, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me. In other words, the seeker will find. And I'm telling you that if you're looking for Christ, Christ is here to be found today. If you came today with a need, Christ is here to be found today. And I believe you have needs today, or you wouldn't be here under the sound of my voice. So why don't you go seek Christ today and find Him for your situation, for your trial, for your heartache, for your understanding. Christ is here, and He said He would be found of you. Why? The denomination's looking for Him. This one's looking for Him. That one's looking for Him. But they'll never find God, because God lives in a many-membered bride body. And there's a bride sitting here today that has God sitting in her midst. Come on, somebody. As God sitting in her midst, but yet she so many times lets God pass by without reaching out and touching God. You realize if the Baptists could have what you get, they would do many times a better job than we do. Huh? They would do many times a better job than we do. I've seen Baptists that'll put many believers to shame. Huh? Because they know where they stand and they do the very best. And I believe God will honor that. I do. I believe Brother Brown said there would be Methodists there. There would be Pentecostals there. There would be Baptists there. Hello? That's what he said. He said there would be people there that you never dreamed would be there. And those that will not be there will surprise you. Huh? We're fast to pass judgment. We're fast to pass judgment, but it ain't up to you and it ain't up to me, because if it was up to me, you'd have been out a long time ago. Be honest. If it was up to you, I would have been out a long time ago. But it's not up to you. Huh? Man, y'all are quiet this morning. Don't be scared to amen His word. Don't be scared of that, because you might just amen yourself into a jubilee. Amen. You might just amen your chains off of you. Amen. You might just praise the walls of Jericho down. Don't do that. This place might get out of hand if we done that. Okay? Huh? No, we ought to be able to sit there and say, God, I have need. I have a need of you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. But he says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And he said, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all of your heart. With everything that you have. Everything that your being is made up of is searching after God. Amen. And verse 14 says, now look at the promise. He says, now, if you meet these requirements. Huh? He said, if you meet this requirement, look what he said. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. Luke 16:16 says, all the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth his way into it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to going to be simply come and sit down. But it says every man presseth his way into the kingdom of heaven. He presseth. It's a struggle. It's a turmoil. It's a heartache. Amen. There's a battle going on. There's something happening. Yet what are you pressing through? You're pressing through a veil of flesh. Because your veil of flesh did not want to come here this morning. It didn't. My veil of flesh rolled out of bed and thought, oh God, I got to go do it again. I'll be honest. He'd say the same thing. So would he. Why? Because you in this don't want to do it. I would much rather be at home drinking my coffee. Amen, Brother Ben. I would. Inside of this. But yet there was something inside of me that overcame me. Come on now. That overcame me and says, what is it? This word will bring this into subjection to it. Or it should. Maybe it don't, but it should. Huh? The word will bring the veil of flesh under subjection to itself. Amen. And the word says, every man presseth his way into it. So there's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some trials. Mark 7:24, let's look at a woman that was desperate. 7:24. If you can just follow along with me in this, on the screen there. And from this he arose and came into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it. But notice what the scripture says. But he could not be hid. It is impossible for God to be hid from you. Is that what I read? It's impossible for God to be hid from you. He can't do it. It feels like it sometimes. It feels like he's hid, but he's not. He's not. He's simply waiting on you. What's that song says? I was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. But he was there all the time while we was out doing whatever we do. While we was out putting other things before him, he was there all the time. He never moved. He was not hid, but we turned our eyes from off of him. We mistake that many times. We say, God, where are you? In other words, and whenever we really ought to say, God, let me refine you. Huh? Many times we say, where are you? Instead of, God, I want to refine you. I want to reconnect with you. God, I know you've never changed, but I've changed. Because the Word says I'm God and I change not. It's impossible for God to change. Amen. The same God that was in Genesis is the same God that's in Revelation. Amen. And the same God that's in Revelation is the same God that's living in a many-membered bride body today. Amen. And he's in operation in the gifts of the people. Amen. You are the hands and feet of God. People don't understand that, Brother Tony. They don't understand that. But you are the hands and the feet of Christ today. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into what? The bride. So now, where's God? Where's God? In you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ inside of you. Not inside of this one or that one, but he said inside of this young man, inside of this young lady, inside of this woman, inside of this young man, inside of this young man, inside of this young lady. What is it? Christ is living in a many-member bride body. Come on, somebody. He's walking in shoe leather today. Amen. He's walking. He's talking. You say, I want to see Christ. I want to shake God's Christ's hand.
he disembodied in a tabernacle of flesh, as he was in the body of Jesus Christ, so is he in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That same work, that same spirit that was in Jesus is in you. That same spirit that was in the prophet of this day is inside of you.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
I'm not looking.
I better not go there.
People are looking for this to happen. People are looking for that to happen. People are looking for California to slide off into the ocean. People want this. People want that. Well, it ain't time because California ain't went. I'm not looking for California to go off into the ocean. I'm not waiting on that. I'm not saying whenever it goes, I'll get right. Oh, I've got plenty of time. California's not went off. Armageddon ain't started. Come on, somebody. This ain't happening. That ain't happened. I got plenty of time. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm not looking for those things to happen. I'm simply looking for a body change. I'm not looking for this to happen and that to happen. I'm looking now for my body change.
Amen.
I don't need those things to happen. I need raptured. I need changed. That's what I need. I need to know. I need to have a changing of this body. I need to be as Enoch was and walk so close to God.
Come on, somebody.
Walk so close to Him to where I just am caught up into Him.
Amen.
Amen. Until I'm caught up into the eternities.
You realize you're going to praise yourself into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
You're going to praise your way there.
Amen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Whether you like it and whether I like it.
Yeah. That's it. There's a smile. Smiles are so pretty. It improves your face value. You're worth a lot more smiling than you are frowning.
Right.
Huh? I seen him and I looked at him and all of a sudden.
Amen. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Verse 25, for a certain woman was whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. She fell at his feet.
What was it? What was she doing? Notice, every time God does something for somebody, there was an approach to that. Right? Every time God done something, whenever he rose Lazarus out of the grave, what was happening? Mary came to him and knew what she did. She worshipped him. Is that right or is that wrong? She worshipped him. Thus, you're going to worship your way into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
Heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek of Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, now notice, she came and she worshipped, but the word is about to rebuke her. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. You know, they say that... Heard a little deal.
here not long ago. Everybody was up in arms because Brother Branham called women dogs. Anybody got Facebook? You know what I'm talking about, dude. Everybody was up in arms because Brother Branham called women dogs. Looks to me like Jesus did too.
Yeah.
But you realize the only women that that bothers is the dogs. And whenever I read that, and whenever I said that, none of you women felt like I called you a dog. No, did you? Why? Because you don't talk dog language. Come on, somebody. You might as well put it out there the way it is. You might as well just talk straight. You know, we got too many people trying to tiptoe around this thing. No, they're out there trying to disprove it. Why can't I try to prove it? You know, yeah, that's a very sticky subject too. But I was telling my wife the other day, well, it's been a while back now, but time just runs together whenever you meet. But I was telling her, I said, because she was reading to me some of the things that was going on out here on Two Facebook. She was reading to me some of these things, and one of them was a direct attack toward one of my family members. And my wife, I wake up one morning, and I had to preach that morning in Salem, and I rolled out of bed. I rolled out of bed, and I look over there, and my wife's fingers are just going right into nothing. I mean, burning that keyboard up. And she looks at me. She had read this post that was a direct attack. It was very blatant on somebody that was very close to us. And it was on my side of the family. But you don't mess with my side of the family because my side is her side. Huh? I like that because a bride will come in and she is a part. Huh? She's a part of everybody. And she has came in, and I'm going to use my wife. She's my guinea pig. I take her everywhere with me. Poor little woman. She's dealt with this for years. All the time. Every time we go somewhere, she's used for something. God will bless you for it, though. But she sat there, and you know, she comes, and she entered into the family. And whatever she did, she took on my last name. She didn't ask me to take on her name because she knew it never worked. But she took on my name. And whenever she took my name on, she became me. Amen. And whenever that happened, she also became part of us as a family in general. But I begin to look and I begin to watch her sitting over there. She had read this post that somebody had posted, and it was a direct attack. And she looked, and I looked at her, and she was over there, and you could just see the steam rolling off of her. I mean, her righteous indignation had done rose up. And I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be bad. But she looks at me and she knew that she could not post what she had. But my wife's way of venting many times is to write it out. I looked over there at her and I did not say one word to her. She was sitting there writing, and I could tell that she was hot. She wrote this thing out, and then she turned it around to me, and I read it, and it was beautiful. And then she says, "But I won't post that." And I begin to think, I begin to look, and I thought, you know, I didn't have to say one word to her about it. But yet she knew. She knew that she didn't have to engage in that type of nonsense.
Amen.
Now, what it done to her inside of our room and behind our closed doors, that does not matter. But she did not go in there and start ripping and tearing. You say you want to see God. I don't. Some of these people, message believers, they're out there trying to defend this thing. And I mean, they're just as devilish as the other. Come on, somebody. Just as devilish with their post as the other.
That's right.
But their spirit was wrong. And if their spirit is wrong, it's wrong altogether. I don't care what you say. You can be 100% right by the word. But if your spirit is wrong, you're wrong. Period. Is that right? You're wrong. I'm wrong.
And don't sit there and act like you've never dealt with this, because you all sat there on Facebook many times and jacked up something that you just wanted to just go boom. How do you like that? You like that in your eye.
But I looked at her after this all went down, and I looked at her and I said, you know, I said, all of this garbage makes me want to just go viral. You know, I want to get online and I want to just go viral. Because it's on every hand, it's on every corner, it's every other post.
Yeah, right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
And you all are friends with it.
Like I was preaching here a while back, and I said, you know what? We all sit there and we play with it, and we play with the giant. We play with the bear. Because it'll never get us.
Come on now, that's the devil.
I don't know why we're here, but we are.
Because it'll never get us. Just like I can walk up to Brother Daniel, whatever, he said, hey, you ain't sick, by the way, this time.
I was starting to get a complex, because every time I've been here, he's been sick. I don't know if he really was sick, but
he says he was sick. And this time I pinned him down, I said, hey, you better not be sick this time, or I'm going to get a complex.
Good job, Doug.
But I can walk up to Brother Daniel and I can shake his sick hand, because I'm not going to get it. 2 days later, I'm in there going, why? Because I flirted. I'm not calling you a devil, but I flirted with the devil.
No, I didn't call him a devil.
But we have that mentality. Oh, it won't affect us.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you something. You play with fire long enough, Brother Tim, fire's going to burn you.
That's right.
And Brother Tim says,
amen.
Amen. We lit that fire last night. Brother Tim lit that fire last night. I was at a safe distance away. All of a sudden, he's down there, all bent down. And that thing says, Brother Tim goes, shoo! And I went, I smell hair. And I really did. I smell hair. You can still move pretty fast, brother. But we sat there and we think we're not going to get burnt by it.
So we'll sit there and we'll flirt with it. I'll read that post. You realize that everything you intake affects you?
That's right.
Everything.
That's right.
You go down here, you say, no, that's nonsense. All right, I want you to pull through McDonald's for 2 months, day in and day out, and I want you to order a Big Mac, supersized, all the fixings, for 2 months, day in and day out, every meal, and I want to see what you become. You're going to become a Big Mac.
That's right.
So everything that you intake, it has an effect. You say, well, I'll read this or I'll watch this YouTube video. Come on now.
That's right.
Come on now. Listen, we're all Christians here, and we're all in this together, but you know he's a devil.
Yes.
And sometimes we just got to identify the devil. Amen? And sometimes we gotta call the troops in, huh? Sometimes we gotta call the troops in because we gotta get together on this deal.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's power in numbers,
yeah.
Huh? There's power in numbers. I'll tell you what. You come out here, Brother Daniel's a pretty big boy. Sorry, brother. He's a big boy. He'll walk out here and he'll grab a stick and he'll take that stick and he'll say, "Now break it." And he'll take that stick and he'll go, just like that. And then I'm going to take another stick and I'm going to add one with it. And then I'm going to say, I'm going to break it. And then he's going to look at it and he's going to go, he's going to break it. And then I'm going to take those sticks and I'm going to add one more. Now we have three. And then I'm going to tell him, break it.
and he's going to probably break it. But before you know it, I'm going to have enough sticks in his hand to where he can't break that thing. Now, if we got enough people on the same team, you're invincible. Now, I could come and I could that devil might take Sister Vicky by herself. But if you put Brother Daniel on his knees praying with Sister Vicky, and then Brother Tony behind Brother Daniel, and then this sister behind Brother Tony, and then that sister behind this sister, and so on and so forth, and before you know it, you've got a whole group of believers that are praying over one need. She can't be defeated. It might look like she is, but she's not. It's impossible for her to be defeated. Why? Because there's power in numbers. This is like when Brother Eric was in the hospital. You know, there was people all over this United States praying for Brother Eric. Didn't know him. Didn't know the man, but yet there was a need and there was people everywhere praying. And not only did God come and get him out of the hospital bed, you know, these things that are going on, they're lying vanities. That's it. You know, that's just the devil. He's going back in for surgery tomorrow. You say, did God fail? No. God didn't fail. God brought him out of the bed. Come on, somebody. God didn't fail. Well, he's got to go back in for surgery. Yeah. Who says he's got to go back in for surgery? There's still 24 hours. I've still got time. And even if he does have to go back in for surgery, what did Brother Branham say? Brother Branham said that God uses what? Doctors. Now, if you're sick, what are you going to do? You're going to go to a doctor. Amen?
Yeah.
But all of these people, and this is different, but all of these people all around the world begin to pray for Brother Eric. And not only did God bring him out of bed, but God also took a $200,000 worth of medical bills, which he had no insurance. He took $200,000 of medical bills, and he turned it into $4,000. That's my God.
That's right. Amen.
You say your little piddly old bills is something for God. Well, God just took $240,000 or whatever it was. I forget the exact number. It was $200,000 and he turned it into $4,000. And not only did he do that for him, but he also got him 6 months worth of coverage. God says, I am the supplier of all of your needs. He said that he would give you the very desires of your heart. But you have not because you ask not. You have this mentality, and I have this mentality that it's too big. It's only too big if you don't ask. That's it. That's the only time it's too big. But I watched that and I watched him take $200,000, turn it into $4,000. And let me tell you something, I believe before it's all said and done, the $4,000 will be gone too.
Right.
I believe that God takes care of his bride.
Yeah.
Amen. That's big. That's a miracle. Because by rights he owed it. He owed that money.
Yeah.
By rights. But God don't care about rights. God's not limited by law.
Amen.
He's not limited by your situation.
Amen.
The only limitation that God has is the ones that you put on him.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
The ones that I put on him. Is this all right?
Amen.
Jesus said unto her, let the children be filled first, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now notice what she said after being rebuked. Notice her attitude to the word. The word many times will rebuke me, but it's my attitude that I'm going to take toward it. Right? And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. In other words, he just called her a dog. And she said, amen. Amen.
Right.
I know I'm unworthy. Amen. Maybe I haven't lived a holy life. But even still, Lord, you're able. Amen.
Yes.
Now look at it. She says, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She said, God, I'll take whatever you give me. What was it Brother Brown said? He said that if God sent me to hell, I would love him just the same. I'm paraphrasing. I would love him just the same. I wonder how many could say that. In honesty. He said, if God were to send me to hell, I would love him just the same. Look at the mental attitude. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. Now notice she approached him just as Hattie Wright did, and she said the right words. Her response to the word was right. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Immediately. Amen. It was immediate, Brother Tony. It happened immediately. Instantaneously. Whenever faith was appropriated. Whenever faith was placed properly. You say, Ben, we hear faith all the time. But do you understand faith? No. Do I understand faith? No. Why? Because I'm still here. You can tell me with your mouth you understand it. But by their fruits ye shall know them. And last I checked, you're looking at me. So do we understand faith? No. But God, by divine revelation, come on somebody, don't shut me down. God, by divine revelation, amen? He will come and appropriate faith. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Whenever God comes and he takes, you realize that whenever somebody comes to the altar and they get delivered. I had a young man in Salem as we was preaching, and he came up with a neck problem, and we prayed, and he had my father-in-law send me a message, and he said, tell Brother Ben that ever since that day, my neck has been 100% well. But what did he do? He approached God with faith. But it was a faith that God gave him.
Right.
He didn't approach him with an intellectual faith. Come on, somebody. There's a difference.
Right.
I can sit there and I can profess that I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, but all I'm doing is professing with my lips. And I understand that your body, Brother Ram said, will come to your, meet your confession. Amen. I understand those things, but follow me. But you know, we can profess it all we want, but yet until God comes and reveals it, it's just a dead letter. Amen. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out. She never doubted, because the master said so.
Right.
She never doubted it. The devil was gone out of her out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came under the Sea of Galilee and through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one of the deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. Now, why did he take this man away from the crowd? He had to get him away from unbelief. How many times would Brother Brown have pulled somebody off? Away. Come on now.
Yes.
How many times would he pull them off? Why? What are they doing? They're getting them away because if God's going to deal, then there can be no unbelief in the house. Amen?
Yeah.
And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he split and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up unto heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. Now I want you to tell a bird not to fly. When God does something for you, you want to tell somebody about it. You want to go out and you want to say, God done this for me. Whenever Brother Eric got behind the pulpit and he said them medical bills are all the way down to $4,000, he wasn't just them medical bills were down to $4,000. But he was excited about it. Why? Because God done something for him personally.
Yeah.
And you say, Ben, that was coincidence. You let's call it whatever you want. I call it God.
Yeah.
And charged them that they should tell no man. But look at what it done. But the more he charged them, so much the more, and great deal, they published it. They begin to scream out, hey, this man over here done this for me. Why? Because they had to bring honor to him. They had to bring inside of them there's something that said they was going to praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to try to close here. And we're beyond and published it. Let me go back to 36. And he charged them that they say that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more the great deal. They published it, verse 37, and were bound beyond measure, astonished, saying, he hath done all things well, and he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I tell you, whenever he does something, he does it well. If he started a work inside of you, he will finish that work. Amen. Because the Bible says that he does all things well.
Amen.
Stand with me at your feet. But that little woman, whenever she came to him, she wasn't just seeking him, but she was desperately seeking him. And whenever you come to Christ, you're not just seeking him, but you should be desperately seeking him. You know, we're coming down to the closing of time. There's got to be a desperation inside of this bride, Brother Tony.
Yes.
But yet inside, you look and you see that spirit of lukewarmness. You're looking at, and you can see, as we was talking in the back room there, how the world governments are falling on, collapsing on top of each other, on top of themselves. And you look at disease that's running rampant. Now we got this thing called Ebola running around. And all everybody's so scared of that. You've got disease, you've got the economy that's collapsing. You say, Ben, it's getting better, is it? Or are they massaging the numbers?
Right, yeah. That's right.
Come on, somebody. They can make white because it's politics. I'm not here to preach to you politics, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's politics. They want, what do we got coming up, Brother Tony? We got elections coming up, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice it's kind of funny how gas prices go down at election?
Yeah, every year.
Every year? Every time there's an election. Ooh, look what we're doing. What is it? They're trying to deceive you.
That's right.
Huh? They're trying to get elected on a false principle on deception. But I'm telling you, once we get everybody elected, you watch your gas prices.
That's right.
Probably higher than they'll ever be. But we live in a state, in a world that is filled with deception. It's filled with depression. It's filled with negative, negative, negative. You check the news. You check the news and let's see if you find anything positive in the news. You won't. You will find nothing positive in the news. It's always negative. And we wonder why people are jumping off of bridges. We wonder why people are taking their lives. Because all of the time it's negative. Right? But that is not and we sit here and we take it for granted. But we have so much positive. The world is being filled with negative while you're being dumped in with positive. You will overcome. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen. But we take it for granted. I had a brother tell me that in Jamaica, he said that those people will walk for hours to get to one church service. They'll walk barefooted for hours. He said, and sometimes you'll have, I believe he said there was, in Jamaica, there was at times 500,000 people. It's a lot of bodies. He said, and they would walk and they would come. He said, and they were so desperate. He said, and we would watch people being healed. We would watch people being saved. We would watch all of these miracles, supernatural things happening. And why is that? Because they came expecting. But in America, it is so common.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
It's so common, but you go over there and it's people that don't have it, people that don't understand it, but they come with such an expectation. And he said they'll take crutches out of there, they'll take wheelchairs out of there. Eyes will be open. Twisted limbs will come straight. Why? Because it's got an operation in an expectant people. And I think, you know, here we're so spoiled.
Right.
We get in our air-conditioned car and we drive to church. Our heated car and we drive to church. And then people have to walk for hours in the sweltering hot. Barefooted many times. That is desperation.
Yeah.
And whenever they come with desperation, things begin to happen. Why don't we see those things? We want to see those things in our church services. I do. I do. I believe it's got to be. I believe we have to have those things. Has to be. He said, these things shall you do and greater. What did he do? We gave sight for the blind. He raised the dead. Come on now. Now we realize that word greater doesn't necessarily mean greater, because you don't get much greater than raising the dead.
Right.
But more so. And I believe it's coming to that. But it's going to take a bride desperately seeking Christ. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Father, Lord, we want to just say thank you, Father, Lord, for meeting us one more time, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that, Lord, you would just take these words, Father, that were spoken this morning, Father. Lord, would they be, Father, applied, Father, to every heart, dear God, that's represented. Lord, would every person, Father, Lord, be able, Lord, to find you today, dear God. Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, you would take, Father, and, Lord, place these words to these people, Father. Lord, I don't know, Father, what they have need of, but, Lord, you had every word spoken, Father, for a reason this morning. And, Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you, Father. And, Lord, we want to worship you, Father, this morning for just a little while. Lord, I ask, dear God, if there's somebody here that needs peace, Father, would you come by, Lord, and minister that peace to them, Father. Lord, if there's somebody who would need encouragement, Father, come by, Lord, and lift their heads this morning, Father. Lord, we're needing people this morning. Lord, would you reveal yourself to us, Father, in a greater way, in a greater measure, Father. Lord, I pray. Lord, bless this congregation, Father. Lord, give them a double portion, Father, of your Spirit, dear God. Lord, would you fall on them, Father, in a way that you've never done before, Father. Lord, would you take this assembly, Father, and Lord, would they, that spirit of revelation, of revival, Father, come, Lord. And Lord, that, dear God, the walls could not contain, Father, the things that you're doing, dear God. And Lord, I ask, Father, for their pastor, dear God, give him strength, Father. Give him wisdom, Father. Lord, it's not an easy job, Father, that these pastors do, Father, but Lord, give them wisdom, Father. Give them strength, dear God. Lord, would you help, dear God? Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Without hell,
something you can't put on yourself.
Right.
You can't just cause it. Just say, well, I'm going to be desperate. It takes circumstances to come upon you to cause that. And, you know, in my way of thinking, Laodicea is the enemy of desperation, because Laodicea is made, just as we were discussing earlier, it's made to make you be sleepy and just kind of lay there, just kind of, you know, you're aware of the hour that it is, but, and you're late. Maybe you're going to be going to work, you're kind of late, and, you know, you know you should be up and at it, but you're not doing anything about it. And that's kind of the way it is. It's late, so, well, we know we should be desperate. We know things should affect us. We should have a greater desire and a heart and than what we should. And so that's Laodicea working against us. But we want to have desperation, and this is a terrible hour as far as that is concerned. But the scripture said the day that we would seek him with all of our heart, that's the day we'll find him.
Yes.
So we can always say that it's not us. It's not God that's the problem. It's us that's the problem. And so, you know, we want to be desperate. And how many of you knows that the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Ben, was illustrating that you are him?
Amen.
You know, there's a scripture that says, as he is, so are you in this world. Right? Brother Ben said, the only difference between him, the only thing different about him now is his corporal body. He's not walking in the flesh of the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, but he's got a different body now, and you are that body.
That's right.
And there's no difference in him. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's no difference in him except the body that he dwells in. And there's one other little thing, and that is that even though you're him, you can't receive worship. Right?
That's right.
You can't receive worship like he can.
That's right.
And that's the difference. But as he is, so are you in this world. So, you know, if he walked into a room or into a situation that was not good, he could walk in there knowing that he could change that. Everybody agree to that?
That's right.
Did you know that's the same thing that you have?
That's right.
You can walk into a room or into a situation, and you can change it just as sure as anything. I've seen it happen, especially in hospital rooms when there's... I've been in there where you walk in, they call you and want you to pray for somebody and their family, and they're not Christians, they're not believers. You walk in and the room's full of devils.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, what am I going to do? But it's his word.
Amen.
And if you'll just give him a time and give him a chance and walk in there knowing, you know what? It might be ever so dark in this situation I'm approaching, but light is coming into this room right now as I walk in, not me, but his promise in me. And that's what I'm saying. His promise in you, because you are him.
Amen.
You walk into that room with the right attitude,
right,
and you'll turn the light on.
Amen.
And you'll see darkness flee. You'll see it change.
Amen.
And so that's what we must do. We must realize that, you know what? If that desperation reigns in our heart, and we are desperate for our loved ones, for the situation, you walk in there with that desperation knowing that you are the difference.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not talking about you. You understand
right.
that. But you've got out of the right mindset of humility to know
yeah.
who you are.
Amen.
And to walk right in there and change those things. And that's what we want to do. Because God wants to work and do those things through you, for you, and around you more than you want. And he'll do things just all kinds of time. He's doing things all the time. And
oh, yeah.
He wants to bless you in ways that maybe you didn't even ask for it. And told this testimony. It may seem a little trivial, but as he said, when God does something for you, you want to tell it.
Amen.
Right? And so I was, you know, we were wanting to clean off a little bit of my property, take some trees down, and so we were kind of thinking about planting it, and Brother Matthew was going to help. Brother Matthew here, he was going to help me with it. And so I called to rent a machine that would help us take the trees down and clean the place up. It's called an excavator. And I had called and reserved one. And anybody knows at rental places, whenever the weekend comes, they just rent all that stuff because people like me that wants to do something, they get it for the whole weekend for a price of one day. And so all the equipment just goes everywhere. They're just empty on Friday. They go out. And so I had it reserved, a machine that we could do that with. And this guy calls me on the phone Friday afternoon. I was supposed to pick it up at 4:30, or they were supposed to deliver at 4:30. He calls me and he says, Mr. Roberts, he said, I got some bad news for you. He said, that machine that you have rented is at a customer site, and he said, it's broke. It's got these tracks on it, that like a bulldozer has. He said, it's thrown a track off, and he said, we put it back on, and it come back off again, just trying to get it on the trailer. And he said, our other machine like this broke also. And he said, I have no solution for you. And I said, well, do you have a backhoe, which is the thing with the front end, the back end, the front end loader? And he said, well, I got this one thing, and we looked at it, and it was about a third the size of what, you know, I needed or what I thought I needed. And I said, well, that's not really going to work. You know, and he said, well, I'm sorry. He said, these are things I just can't control. You know, we just don't have control over those kinds of things. So, okay, and I said, well, you know, I said, I had a brother that was coming in town, you know, or I said, I had a man that was going to come in town and help me a little bit. He said, well, he said, let me get off the phone and make a call. I'll call Alma Tractor Supply and see, you know, maybe perhaps they have something, which is a very slim chance on weekends, you know. And he wasn't 3 minutes. He called me back, and he said, Mr. Roberts? I said, yes. And he was kind of silent for a few seconds. He said, you must be a praying man. And I said, well, actually I am. I'm actually a minister of the gospel. He said, not only did they have a machine, he said, but it's a new machine. And not only are you going to get a new machine, he said, you're going to get a bigger machine. And I think we could all actually say right now that if the machine was a little bit smaller, it probably wouldn't work. No, so what I'm saying is God knew what we needed.
Amen.
And he wanted to supply it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray years and say, Lord, you know, give me a bigger machine or whatever. I didn't, but he knew we needed it. And so he was going to supply that, but between where I was at and him supplying it, something had to happen to make that come. So that other machine had to break. And when you stand there and look at that situation and say,
oh yeah,
it'd be negative. And you go, what's God doing? Here I had this all planned, and Brother Matthew's coming and all that, and here this thing breaks, and it looks so terrible, but it takes those terrible things, and it had to be that, or they'd have never called and got another machine. It would have never happened, you see?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm pointing out is that things happen, and we look at it, and we go, that's terrible. And this man, when he said that, he said, well, you're going to get this bigger machine and better machine, he said, I know what my topic is going to be for Sunday school this next Sunday morning. He must be a Sunday school teacher, I guess. I don't know. But he said, because when everything falls apart, you just think it's not, you know. He said, you just got to wait on God and believe. And I forget what he said about it because my mind was kind of racing, you know. But it stirred his heart. And so anyway, God will do it for you. And even sometimes when you don't know and you've not asked, he's working to bring things to pass for you.
Amen.
And so we just want to just commit it to him. And go with desperation. Ask God for it. But go knowing that when those things unfold before you, God's on the moving. He's on the move.
Right.
I believe that with all of our hearts. And so we thank the Lord for what he's given us. Morning and last night, I appreciate Brother Brandon. You know, it's like he said, you know, he can come here and he said he can just walk in and just walk right into this assembly and he just feels right at home. And that's the way we feel about him and his family.
Yes. Amen.
And you know, that's when God puts you together and you meet people and that just the way they fall in together like that, that's fellowship he's given you for life. That's people you're going to spend eternity with.
That's right.
We thank him for that. And so we want to just pray as we get ready to close. Ask the Lord's blessings upon Brother Ben and his wife as they travel home this afternoon and pray for his pastor as he's going to be going into surgery. Really been through it. I know Brother Ram said every family goes through cycles of where it rains and it pours and then they have a good time and then a bad cycle. And Brother Eric's had a bad cycle this year. So we just want to just continue to pray that the Lord will bring him out, and I'm sure the Lord will. But I know that Brother Ben's probably been covering a whole lot for this pastor, and we just want to ask the Lord to bless them all in every way. So let's just bow our hearts now. Lord, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your presence among us. Lord, how that you just know exactly what to send, just the way to say it, touch our heart. Cause us, Lord, just to rejoice, knowing that there's someone greater watching over us, Lord. We don't watch over ourselves so much, but it's you watching over us. We thank you, Lord, for showing your presence among us and showing that you love us and that you have provided for us all these things, Lord. Lord, as you have in the testimony where you had blessed Brother Reed Lord, with the financial situation that he had. We know, God, that you can do that for each and every one, whether it's finances or whether it's in a personal, spiritual situation, whatever it is. We know that you're more than able to do that, having the desire to do it, Lord. I pray, God, that you would make us sensitive, Lord, to your movement so that when you are moving that we recognize it. Lord, that we just open up our hearts and our arms and say, here we are. Lord, just do what you desire. We ask, God, that you be with us as we go today. Bless Brother Ben and his wife as they travel. Lord, just give glory to yourself where he goes. Lord, when he ministers, just let your presence come and bless the hearts of your people. Lord, and it's hard for us to say goodbye whenever we have times of fellowship. We know, God, one of these days we'll all be gathered on that other side. There will be no more departures, no more separating. We look forward to that time. And I pray, God, that we look even more to that time as it comes, and let it be hastened. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember next, I think, next Sunday, Fellowship Sunday, next week. I had looked at the calendar lately, but so just remember next week, and I'm not really sure what we had planned, but I'm sure the word will be circulated when that time comes. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
I want to say it's been good to have our sister with us. It's been good to have her here tonight, last night and this morning, I mean. And we just pray that the Lord will bless her. I know that a lot of prayers was being made the other day, and God has helped her, I'm sure. And so we like to see God move. Amen. That's the cry of our heart, to see God move. It wouldn't, if God would come down right now on Barack Obama and save that man, I'd love it. You see, I don't count him as an enemy. I don't agree with him. But if in, by any means the Holy Spirit could bless him, I'd ask the Holy Spirit to do it, you know. And so we like to see God move, especially among our friends and family and those that we love. And so we just, you realize there's something greater among us than us, right? And that's all we really want, is his favor among us and our fellowship with each other, right? If we've got that, it pretty much takes care of it all. Amen. So God bless you. You're dismissed.
So I'm casting all my cares on you. I know. Back for you and me. So I'm back.